Okay. All right, Rabbi, so over here in Daf Yud, we were discussing the issue of Hishtalbus, based on the Gemara over here that tells us, Kishem Shem Zonez of Shalom Kesuvu Gomer Shoshana, and Rosh Hashanah, Kachis Zonez of Shalom Kesuvu Gomer Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, not only is a person's parnasa set aside from year to year, but also his expenses are set aside from year to year, and how much money he will lose, how much money, you know, will not go to his own enjoyment, and therefore, you know, it's up to the person, is he going to waste that money on stupid nuisances, or will he channel that money to where it was always meant to go, which is to the mitzvah of tzedakah, and that's up to the person to kind of seize that opportunity. But we asked, in that context, the question that the Achrayim ask, which is, or the Mesilas Hasham already is bothered by, and the Chazal are really bothered by, and the Sifrei, what does that mean? A person's parnasa is set aside from year to year, why does he even have to work? Just sit at home and collect the checks from your davening on Rosh Hashanah. Right? You put in the efforts on Rosh Hashanah, that's it. And now you should be able to sit back and collect the retirement checks, you know? So we explained the name of Rabbi Zera Charif, that's exactly, if you remember yesterday, that's exactly what Rabbi Yossi is coming to address. Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara, in Mishnah, Masechta Rosh Hashanah, tells us, that's actually a brisa, that Ha'adam Nidon B'chol Yom. A person is judged every day. And we explain, what does that mean? It means a person is granted a certain earning potential, right, Rosh Hashanah, and then he has, because Baruch Hu judges him every day, is he worthy of unlocking that potential? I was explaining in that context that maybe that's exactly what the whole Indian of Hishtalus is about, is unlocking that potential. That's really what Hishtalus is there to accomplish. And we quoted this Sifrei in Parshas Re'ei, that you might think you could just sit and do nothing and your parnas will fall from the sky. No, you actually have to engage in some hishtablos. And that's what hishtablos is about. That's what the daily avoida is about, is living up to our potential that that is waiting for us. And in order to unlock that potential, that parnasa, we have to engage in hishtablos. And, you know, Hishtalus can mean davening, Hishtalus can mean avodas Hashem, Hishtalus can mean going to work, but all of that is being worthy of unlocking that earning potential that's waiting for us. However, there's really two perspectives, and that's what we tried to flesh out a little bit last time. There's really two perspectives on the avodah of Hishtalus. Is that really a lichachila, or is it a b'diyeved? It used to happen, Dr. Lamb started in the early 80s, the Torah Umada Project, before my time. Torah Umada was always the motto, I think, but Dr. Lamb really gave it ideological roots. Until then, I think it was known as, we discussed it this year, I think, once, it was known as synthesis. So Rav Lichtenstein in the 70s wrote an article about synthesis from the Torah perspective. That's Torah Umada, in other words, but they called it synthesis. Dr. Lamb is really the one who brought it back to Torah Umada. He wrote a whole book about Torah Umada, the Torah Umada Reader, the Torah Umada Journal. There was a Torah Umada lecture series. I remember the Torah Umada lecture series. That wasn't here in the early 80s, but I remember the Torah Umada lecture series. So one year, Rav Schechter was, I heard the tape. I wasn't at this before my time a little bit, but I heard, if you know what tape, sorry. I heard the tape. And Rav Schechter was talking about the title of this year was Torah Umada, might be Amwari Torah, Torah Umada, Lechatchila or B'dievid. That was the title of this year. So Shefley got up and he said, I disagree with the title. It should have been Torah Umada, Aser Mutter. What's the Chachim with the That was the, Shefley was Harif in those days. Torah Umada, Aser Mutter, rejected Torah Umada, Chachim with the Yemen. But someone once asked the Rav, he said over in that shir, I think, someone once asked the Rav, is Torah Umada, Chachim or B'dievin? Is college with Chachim or B'dievin? So the Rav said, what difference does it make? You're all sitting here. You're here anyway. So what difference does it make if it's Chachim or B'dievin? And the truth of the matter is, it really doesn't matter. And what the Rav was trying to say is that there's two lechatchilas. There's two kinds of lechatchilas, right? Is the human condition lechatchila or b'diyeved? That's a machlokes in the Gemara in Erevin. Muta, was it tovo shadam, you know, what was it? Tovo shadam shenivra yos mishalai nivra? Is it better that a person was created better than never been created? Or would have been better that a person never been created, you know, rather than being created? That's a machlokes in the Gemara. No one holds that it's, you know, okay for a person, chas v'shom lo'alein, to end his life because it's better to have never been created. We're here anyway. And we have to do the best that we can. Now that we're here, Yafashvish Ramasav, we have to do the best that we can. So what difference does it make? The Gemara discusses over there what difference it might make. It might be talking about Gugulim, it might even be talking about this reality, whatever it is. It almost doesn't matter, right? The point is academic, because we're here anyway. So there's one kind of Lechatchila that's endemic to the human condition, meaning given that we're here, given this set of circumstances, what's Lechatchila? And then there's another kind of a chachil of a person who's devising a new system, a new way of life. Which, you know, which way should he go about doing it? So there's always a chachil according to your circumstances versus a chachil that's irrelevant of circumstances. And those are two separate discussions, right? So Torah Mada, that's what the Rav was saying, Torah Mada l'chachil b'diyeved, Torah Mada is l'chachil for the circumstances where a person has to get a job and a person might need an education to do that and some degrees and things like that in order to get there. So, you know, there's two kinds of l'chachilos. We always have to keep that in mind. But getting back over here, is hishtadlos l'chachil or is hishtadlos b'diyeved seems to be a machlekes between the Mesilas Yesharim and Rav Avram ben Arambam. Of course, you have to do it, and now that we live in this reality, it's a lechatchila. But if we were devising reality, you know, in the Adam HaRishon, Kaidem HaChet, was Hishtadlos in the picture? According to Mesilas Yesharim, it was not. It was not in the picture. That was a byproduct of the sin of the Eitz Hadas. That's part of Bezeas HaPecha, Toich HaLechem. And it's kind of like a knas. That's the way the Mesilas Yesharim phrase it. It's a gzera that you have to be yoytze. According to Rav Ben Arambam, this was baked into the system. This is a chachila. It's a chachila for a person to engage in avodah, which is an entirely, not only a chachila of the second variety, a chachila given the set of nisibot, given the set of circumstances. Is this what I should be doing? That chachila probably for sure is. The question is, even according to Mesilas Yesharim, the question is it the ideal form of chachila, meaning irrelevant of circumstances? Adam HaRishon Kedem HaChet, was this also part of the chachila? Rav Ben Arambam argues that it is, and we tried to show last time that it could be a machlokes in midrashim. Some opinions in Chazal hold it is a lechachila, the first kind. Some hold it's only a lechachila of the second kind, that it's b'diyeved. It's because of the gzeira b'zeis apechot echolechem. So, Rabbi, I believe that these two perspectives on hishtadlus flow from two perspectives on bitochen. Hishtadlus and bitochen, of course, related to one another. Bitochen means trusting in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hishtadlus means, despite the fact that we trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to engage in certain activities and actions on our part. How much hishtadlus is required is usually a function of how much bitachon a person has. That's the comment of the Beis HaLevi. I would say one of the most important Beis HaLevi. Every comment of the Beis HaLevi is important. Every comment of many Svarim is important. Every comment of the Ramban and Chumash is like a basic hashkafa. Every comment of the Beis HaLevi is like a pearl, is a gem. There's no Beis HaLevi that you skip over and say, I didn't get, you know, that one's not shaykh. No. Every Beis HaLevi is an ikur yasayid in hashkafa. So Beis HaLevi is a comment at the beginning of Parashas Miketz, based on a stira in Psukim, and you know, really Chazal. On the one hand, Chazal criticized Yosef for lacking in bitachon, because he said, his kartani twice to the Sarah Mashkim. Said, remember me. And because of that, Rashi says, at the beginning of Parshas Miketz, Yosef had to spend 2 extra years in the Beis HaSoyer, in jail. But then, the Gemara comments, Ashrei Gever Shesom Hashem Iftochoi, Zeh Yosef. Yosef is the paradigmatic Baal B'tochen. He was in jail, right? He still maintains a good attitude. He asked the Sarah Mashkim, you know, Madu Apneichem Roim Hayoim, why are you so sad today? He's thinking about others. He's mamash a paradigmatic Baal B'tochen, yet at the same time, he's criticizing for lacking B'tochen. So Beis HaLevi explains that there is an inverse relationship between how much bitachon you have and how much hishtadlus is required. If a person is at the pinnacle of bitachon, very little hishtadlus is required, and even saying, remember me twice, was too much. And Yosef was punished for that. If we, you know, a person says that reminds a professor of something twice, that's not a lack of hishtadlus. That's probably proper hishtadlus. But for Yosef, that was too much. So everybody depends. That's why you can't look at what other people are doing, because everybody and where they're holding a bitachon, sincere bitachon, real bitachon, not external bitachon, external manifestations, tangible ways of bitachon, real bitachon, dictates how much hishtadlus a person needs. There's this inverse relationship between bitachon and hishtadlus. That's the yisoy that the Beis HaLevi develops. Already it's found in Ramban and things like that, but okay. But they're a function one of the other. So I believe this machleik is about whether hishtadlus was baked into nature and is part of the original plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chathila plan, or whether this is something that's a byproduct of the sin of the Eitz Hadas, but is really not ideal in the ideal sense, right? Not that first kind of a Chathila, has to do with how a person views bitachon. What is bitachon? Because there's a big machlekes rishonim about what bitachon is. I once wrote an article about this. You can look it up. It's in tradition. About what is the nature of bitachon. But it's really outlined by the Chazon Ish. I would say one of the more well-known selections, sections of the Chazon Ish, Sefer Emunah B'Tochen, he writes over here, Ois Tezvav. He says, Ta'us Noishenes, that is a recurring mistake. Ta'us Noishenes, if you have the sheet from last time. If you don't, I have another one. I don't have another one. I thought I had another one. I have another one. I don't. If you have from last time. So it says the Chazon Ish, Tarsh no shenis nis azrecha b'leiv rabim v'musak ha-bitochen. There's a recurring mistake that keeps coming up in the minds of many regarding bitochen. Shom bitan mishamesh limda mehola v'ikars b'fi ha-chasidim. Nistoy v'musak choyva lahamim b'chol mikra shepogu yishadim v'amidos l'kros ha-asid b'ilti murka v'shnei drachim ba-asid. Echotoy v'eb v'go shniyah. There's two paths in front of you. One that's good, one is bad. If a person has enough bitochen, ki betach yiyatoiv. Certainly will turn out good. Meaning, if you have enough bitachon, everything will turn out good. I would not say good, because everything is ultimately good. What it means is favorable. It'll turn out the way you want it. And bitachon is like a appliance that you can use to do what you want with it. And if a person has enough bitachon, so then he can accomplish wondrous and miraculous things. If you think for one moment that things won't turn out well, whom chayser bitachon, then you're lacking in bitachon. Ve'ein ha'razu b'bitachon achayna, says the Chazon Ish, this kind of bitachon is mistaken, it's wrong. The truth of the matter is, what I intended to show in that whole article that I wrote in Tradition is that there are many Rishonim who have this perspective of bitachon. The Chazon Ish mocks it. But the truth of the matter is, he's coming as a polemic against those Rishonim, and he's arguing like Rav Avraham ben Arambam in the Sefer Masvik Lev De'Hashem, who says exactly what he says, which is that that's not what bitachon is. Bitachon is the other side of the coin of emunah. Emunah means I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that everything that happens, happens, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashgiach on the world and on me as an individual. And if a person has that emunah, then he believes and has bitachon that everything that happened to me is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen to me. And therefore, that brings a certain sense of consolation and solace. But that doesn't necessarily mean that nothing bad can chas v'shalom lo aleinu happen, right? Or something unfavorable. Just means if it happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen. Now, that's what it means, HaBateach B'Hashem, Chesed Yisoy V'Venu, a person who is B'Teach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feels the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he understands that whatever's happening is happening to me because Ribbono Shel Olam wanted it to happen, and there's consolation in that, that I'm not subject to the winds of, the circumstance, but it doesn't necessarily mean that everything's going to happen as favorable. V'ein ha'raz v'bitachon ha'chayin, shekol shekol nizbar b'nevua, goyro ha'asid, anybody who's not a Navi, ein ha'asid mukhra, ki mi yoydeh ha'mishpatei Hashem v'mugoyis of Yisparach. Who knows what the cheshbonos are of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Moshe Rabbeinu asked in last week's parasha, ha'yidiyeni naz derachecha, ha'reini naz kveidecha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, sorry, I'm not going to reveal myself to you. V'isas ha'chayirai ufanei lo yiro. So he couldn't understand the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Aval inin habitachon hu ha'emun she'ein mikra ba'olam. Bitachon, all it means, according to the Chazon Ish, not all it means, but what it means, is that everything that happens, it happens because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen. Everything is happening is the exer of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is mashgiach in this world. If it looks like this is a dangerous thing, and most people would be afraid. Then a person should remember, even if this is the outlook is bleak, remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save you because there's nothing that stands in the way, no obstacle that's too great for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it brings you a certain sense of fortitude and courage, not because I'm consoled that everything's going to happen is going to be good, but everything that happens is going to happen because the Ribbono Shel Olam is there. And nothing is too, no obstacle is too great for the Ribbono Shel Olam to overcome. And the girding yourself in that time, there's nothing that stands in the way of a Kadosh Baruch Hu can overcome. He had a mikra against circumstances, whether it's good, whether it's the opposite. Gives him the ability to believe in the possibility of a salvation, but not that it will necessarily occur. There's no more likelihood for good or bad. Everything is dependent on the rotzim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what's known as bitachon. So that's what bitachon is according to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish calls the tos noshenis, the recurring mistake, is bitachon of the kind that a person believes, if I trust in a Kadosh Baruch Hu enough, everything's going to turn out good. Rabbi, I'm sure you've heard people espouse that kind of bitachon. There is such a stream of thought. I would say it's not, and I would even call that the traditional view. That is the traditional view. It is not the popular view today, because most of us live in a rational world. Right? Most of us believe that however much bitachon you have to engage in medicine. No one, even though the Ramban writes in Parshas B'Chukosai, that if a person has enough bitachon in the Ribbono Shel Olam, he doesn't have to go to doctors. And says the Ramban, when we had Nevi'im, No one went. It's one of the most controversial statements of the Ramban and Chumash. But that bitachon can take you so high, so much, that you don't need any hishtavlis at all. You don't have to engage in the natural world at all. All hishtavlis is only gzeira because of b'zeis apechol teichol lechem. But if a person has enough bitachon, he could overcome that. And that equation, that sliding scale of bitachon, that inverse relation between bitachon and hishtavlis can take a person so far, you don't need any hishtavlis at all. No medicine at all. But Rabbi said, I find even the frumest, even the most devout Jews, they encounter a sakana, try and find the best doctors they can find in the entire world. If you go into the top doctor's offices in New York, you will find inevitably, unfortunately, because we have Tzaras and Klal Yisrael, but you'll find frum Jews. You know how you know you're in a top doctor's office? If there's frum Jews in the waiting room. Frum Jews in the waiting room. Ah, what happened to bitachin? The answer is, that's called hishtadlus. That's called hishtadlus. Hishtadlus is to go to the best doctor. And no matter how much bitachin you have, right? We haven't really accepted the Ramban that you could have so much bitachin, you don't need any hishtadlus at all. So that's why I say the Chazon Ish is the popular view, because yes, I have bitachin that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge of everything, but I still have to do my hishtadlus. Bitachin doesn't heal me. Bitachin doesn't solve my problems. Bitachin gives me the strength to believe no matter what circumstances are before me, a Kadosh Baruch Hu could bring a Yeshua, but that might happen through natural means, and that's what I'm supposed to do. But not that bitachon creates and generates results. Bitachon is a mindset. Bitachon is a mindset. And that might determine how much hishtadlus I need. But you have to engage in hishtadlus. You have to engage in hishtadlus. So if you believe, though, that bitachon generates results, if you believe that bitachon can make everything turn out well, then it makes sense to say, like the Ramban says on Chumash, not like Rav Avram, the son of the Rambam, that no, bitachon is a whole separate like track. And if a person has bitachon, it's not just the practical side of emuna. Emuna means I believe that everything that happens to me, you know, that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and everything that happens to me as a result of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Bitachon is, right, the Chazon Ish gives his favorite imagery. He says, you can have a great Baal Emuna. The minute that someone opens a competing store next to his, he's nervous. Then he doesn't have bitachon. He has emuna here. Bitachon means how he feels when the guy opens the store next to him. So Chazon Ish says, you never know how much bitachon you have until you're tested. Because bitachon in the abstract doesn't exist. Bitachon is the practical side of emunah. It's the other side of the coin of emunah. How do I behave in the marketplace? Do I panic when someone, you know, when my investment, you know, when the market is spiraling? Or do I bitachon that whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam is running the world, not that I shouldn't read the paper, do my hishtadlus, but I have bitachon that Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and if this is happening to me, it was, you know, part of the gzeir of the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's another whole view, though, of bitachon. No, bitachon is really a whole separate thing, separate from emunah. Not just belief in a Kadosh Baruch Hu create the world. There's a power in the world of, called trust, called bitachon, that if I trust enough in the Ribbono Shel Olam, really, sincerely, so then you have the ability to achieve and produce results, even to override the requirements for hishtadlus in the first place. And that seems to be where the Mesilas Yesharim is coming from. Mesilas Yesharim is coming from the notion that bitachon can override the fact that we live in a physical world and we usually have to engage in hishtadlus. You can have so much bitachon, you don't need hishtadlus at all. That's how far we take the sliding scale of the Beis Halevi. You can have so much bitachon, you don't need hishtadlus at all. This was once debated, they say, over in the, I think it's in the Sefer called Tenuas HaMusar. Tenuas HaMusar was a five-volume book about the Musar movement, and has biographies and profiles of each one of the Gedolei HaMusar. So there in the section about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, so it says once Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was sitting in a Beis Medrash with the Rashash, who were both in Vilna. Rashash was in the back of the Gemara. And they were sitting debating this issue of bitachon. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter took the traditional view that if you have enough bitachon, you can produce results. So Rashash took the other view, the popular view, I'd say today, the rational view. And no, bitachon means that every Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, but it doesn't change the reality, right? It's a mindset. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, I'll have so much bitachon that I'll get, you know, that I want a fancy watch. Obviously, he didn't want the fancy watch, but he said, I have enough bitachon if I want this watch that I'll be able to, you know, get the watch. So he's sitting there thinking, pondering, concentrating, focusing on bitachon, and all of a sudden a guy knocks on the Beis Medrash door, and he says to the Rashash, someone just delivered a watch for you. Guy died, he left you his watch. So you got it. He had bitachon, and the Rashash ended up getting the watch. So whatever it is, obviously, it's an apocryphal story, but it highlights the two views of bitachon. The Rabbeinu Yoino also discusses, what do you say about bitachon for a person who's not of a high religious standing, a rasha? the example that Rabbeinu Yonah gives. What about a ganef? Rabbi says, this bitachon. A ganef goes into a store, someone else's house to steal. He's a baba machteris. He comes in the middle of the night. He's prowling in their house. He's taking the silver and putting it into his bag from the break front. And all of a sudden, he hears footsteps on the second floor. Can he have bitachon that the Ribbono Shel Olam should help him get out safely? Is that called bitachon? Huh? Today, everyone loves the villain. Today, we probably make a movie about the villain, right? We love this guy. He's great, even though he's stealing from everyone. But all right. Fine. But we love the underdog, even though they're horrible people. But okay. But is that called bitachon? Can you have bitachon about that? No. Maybe. Or maybe, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu's running the world, everything Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, wants to happen should happen, bitachon's not going to help this guy get out of a jam that itself is an Avera in the first place. Bitachon would seem to be misplaced. If you really trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you stealing? Right? So, yeah. Or you're a bad guy. Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to listen to your Bitachon. You can have Bitachon, but it wouldn't be effective. If Bitachon is a separate power, like an appliance, that I can plug in, that if I have Bitachon with the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's going to save me from whatever danger is facing me, so then maybe Bitachon can apply there. So I would say this is the difference between the mystical Rishayim as opposed to the more rationalist Rishayim. And it really is two perspectives on Hishtadlus entirely. I would say most of us believe, like the Rambam ben Rambam, that no, you have Bitachon, like the Chazon Ish. That's the traditional yeshiva approach, like the Chazon Ish. That Bitachon means whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen is going to happen. And we have to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even when the circumstances seem bleak, that a Yeshua can come. It's possible. It's never too, you know, big of an obstacle in the face of the Rishon, the Ribbono Shel Olam. But not necessarily that if a person has enough bitachon, you don't need to go to doctors. If you have enough bitachon, if you trust it, if you believe you want bad enough, you don't have to engage in proper amounts of hishtadlus. That far, bitachon doesn't go. Okay, Rabbi, so these two perspectives on hishtadlus might really reflect two paths in bitachon. But let's go on to the Gemara. We read this Gemara yesterday, but we skipped over this point that's raised by the Ein Yaakov. Sumar there says, just like a person's parnas is set aside from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, so too, the losses that his expenses are set aside from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara there quotes the Mice of Rabbi Kihad ben Aksei, the end of the first wide line, the Rabbi Yochum ben Zakkai. There was a certain incident that occurred with the nephews of Rabbi Yochum ben Zakkai. Chazal hu b'chilma, they saw in a dream. He saw in a dream. The Bo, the Mechsa, Shiva, Mea, Dinri, they were supposed to lose 700 dinarim to the government. Asinhu. So he, Rashi says, let's see, Rashi. It's going to be a significant Rashi. Says, Asinhu. Shakol Sheh. No. I was on the Shakol. Okay, we'll get up to the second. Yeah, so he convinced them to give 700 dinarim to tzedakah, 683 dinarim to tzedakah. Pashka, bayu shiv sardinri. He left aside 17 dinarim. Kimota, mali yuma de kipuri. When it came to Erev Yom Kippur, shoda de bay kesar, then the government sent, shoda de bay kesar, naktinu, and they took it. Amalhu Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, loy tachtulun. Don't worry. Don't worry, Shiv Sardinri, Gabayaku Shakulun Minayaku. He's only going to take those 17, he's not going to take any more. Really? How do you know that? Amile, Minas Yadat. How do you know that it's only going to be these 17? It's not going to be a bigger penalty. Amlahu, Chama Chazoy Lahu. I saw in a dream that you're going to lose 700 dinarim. Amaleva, Amaylo, Amartagon, then it's Vinu. Why didn't you tell us? And we would have given these 17 to Tzedakah as well, just like the other 683. Amina, ki heki de tabdu mitzvah lishma. I wanted you to do the mitzvah lishma, so therefore I didn't tell you about it. So Rashi says over here, Shakot Tzedakah minayhu. Rashi says, Ko Hashanah ekaifim bedvarim. The whole year long, he was persuading them with speech. V'gayvim mehan tzedakah. We didn't actually force them. Why? How did Rashi know that he only persuaded them with speech? He didn't actually force them. So says the Eiyun Yaakov over here, the first Mar Mokum Venira, the Rashi Hutzal Chafarish Kain. Rashi had to explain this way. Chada de Shviel Chaloyim Lahay Koyfa Mamish, the Divrei Chaloyim Us Lamam Vala Merid. And you cannot force people to give tzedakah based on a Chaloyim. A Chaloyim, as we say, is Divrei Chaloyim Us. Divrei Chaloyim Us Lamam Vala Merid. Divrei Chaloyim Us do not mean anything what you see in a dream. So you can't force them because of the Divrei Chaloyim. But in the end of the day, if that's true, the Divrei Chaloyim is L'maam V'lo Meridin, Why do you even encourage them to give 700 or, you know, dinar to tzedakah? The whole thing was Baba Mises. So why take it seriously at all? And that's what the Yon Yaakov then asked. Obviously, he didn't force them to give tzedakah. He only persuaded them. Because Dibbeh Chalom Zulmah Mu'amid and V'ksak Sasha. Deyeh Shachem Inayu with tzedakah V'hoi Tzimam V'shvil HaChaloim Harmina the Dibbeh Chalom Zulmah Mu'amid. So why did he take it seriously at all? Where does this concept come from? Divrei Chalom Esulamam V'Lomaridin. So it's two Gemaras over here. It's actually a third. I didn't give you the third. It's in Horius as well. But it's Gemara Masech Lizgitin over here in Beis Marav. Says the Gemara, Ahu Apitropos, Tavi B'Shivivusa D'Rameir. There was a certain Apitropos. Rabbi, so what's an Apitropos?
A guardian,
a caretaker. Excellent. So someone who's taking care of the property of the Yisoymim. He lived in the neighborhood of Rameir. Tavi Kamazvin Ara V'Zovin Avde. So he was selling real estate. My buddy said the only people who sell real estate are those who are in financial distress. Or you believe it's a distressed asset. It's not good. Guy selling off his portfolio, he probably needs cash. That's not a good thing. So he's selling the assets. I'm not a real estate guy. I've learned that much. But Zavin Avde, and he's buying servants. So that's bad for the portfolio. For Shavki Rameir, Rameir stopped him. You're hurting the portfolio, the assignment. What's your problem? Ach vulei b'chalmei. So then, Rameir saw in a dream, Anila Harus Valtaliv Nois. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to him, I'm destroying in your building, leave me alone. Yibbeinu Shem said, I'm guiding them to sell their portfolio because Kadosh Baruch Hu had a problem with these assignments. So whatever it was, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to liquidate their assets. Afil Hachi Lo Yeshgach, Rameir didn't listen to the dream. Amar, Divrei Chalom is Lomam V'lo Meridin. Divrei Chalom is don't matter. Baba Mises. Similarly, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, I'm about to say, see over here. I don't know why it says, oh, it should say Gimel, typo. Tana Rabbanan. Amar lahen, Echad, ani ra'isi avichem shidmin maz b'shida teva migdo. I saw your father hid money in a certain place. It's a box, some other utensil. Amar, show plenty hain. And he said, by the way, that money I saw your father hide in the safe, or wherever, belongs to someone else. Doesn't belong to you guys. You don't yarshin it. Or, shomai sosheni hain. If it's in their house, by the way, I know your father has a lot of money in the safe. It's not yours. It's my shoshani. He's not believed. That's not his money. We know there's money in the safe. If it's somewhere else, no one ever would have thought to look there. Then he's believed. If he has the ability to take it and disperse it as he says, then we believe him. If he doesn't have the ability to get it because it's in your house, we don't believe him. Let's say they see their father hiding money. And the father says it's not mine, it belongs to someone else. It belongs to my Sushani. If he seems like he's telling them the truth, we believe him. If it seems like he's lying, lo yamar klum. Okay. Now the Gemara gets to what's more nogea, but you needed the previous few lines for context. A person has Agmas nefesh about money that his father left him. They're over here. He sees in a dream. They're over here, and they don't belong to you. It once happened. They didn't know where the money was. They knew their father had tons of money. They didn't know where he put it. They saw in a dream. It's over here. But they saw in the dream as well. It belongs to my shosheni. It doesn't belong to you. Even if you find the money there, we don't believe the chaloyim. Divrei Chalom is Lomam V'lo Meridin. So Rabbi said, if Divrei Chalom is Lomam V'lo Meridin, how come in our Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai took the dream seriously? That's the kasha that the Iyun Yaakov asked. Why did he take the dream seriously if Divrei Chalom is Lomam V'lo Meridin? But Rabbi said, the truth of the matter is, we have a funny relationship with dreams. We do. I mean, we have to admit it, right? Yosef, we have a big deal about dreams in Parashas Miketz. The dreams of the Sarah Mashrim, Sarah Oifim. Parshat Vayeshev, Yosef has his dreams about the Chadasar Kechovim, Mishtachim Li, and the, we seem to make a big deal about dreams, don't we? Dreams are, say, seem to be somewhat important. And that's reflected in Halacha too. The Gemara says in Masechtas Nedarim, Amar Rav Yosef, Niduhu b'chaloim. I'd say they put him in Nidoi. They put him in Cherim, in a chaloim. Tzarech Yud b'nei Adam ha-hatiloi. You need 10 people to be matir, the chaloim. Some woman came to me recently. You guys don't know her. She had a funny dream. She wanted to do Hatavas Chaloyim. to undo the chalom. I was like,
okay. I was going to say, if they don't believe in dreams, why don't people fast?
We do. We have a whole system in Shulchan Aruch called Hatavas Chalom. Yeah. So she wanted to do it. A woman doing Hatavas Chalom is a little more complicated. You need other men there. It's a little bit of a tznius issue. So the shy was, can her husband do Hatavas Chalom? She's a very firm woman. Can her husband do Hatavas Chalom for her? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Huh. We typically don't do these things. Most people don't take these dreams too seriously. But the truth of the matter is, it says Nidu b'chaloyim, and it's in Shulchan Aruch and all these things. And there's a Gois HaShri says over here. A Gois HaShri says over here. Rashbam kaz b'shem Rabbeinu Shlomo, the hainu dag tar shakar in barbuta. There was a dog, a fish, that was a kosher fish, they called the barbuta. Rabbi Yehuda chasid amar, kol mi sheyocha barbuta go yizke lecho levyosan. Whoever eats the barbuta fish will never be zayach to eat the levyasim la'ilam abo. Pam echad itir Rabbeinu Ephraim va'amaloi b'chalayim shehitir shuratim v'chazer b'oi v'asur v'chal apaisim ilecho yinachu brachas al-reishon. So he allowed it based on a dream. He allowed it based on a dream. So it sounds like we do paskin based on dreams. So Rabbi says something we all do on Sukkis. You should do. If you don't know how to do it, you're not really taking down meaning properly. But you have to put the lulav together with the adasim and the aravis. We put that in one hand. The esrog we put in the other hand. So do you have to hold them? Can you hold them like this, or do they have to be together? You picked up everything. I'm like this. If you learn the Gemara from top to bottom, all Masech Lesuga, Mitchilas, Avad Seifa, from Dav Beis, I think Nun Daud, and hey, wherever it ends, you'll never see anything about putting it together. That's a Beis Yosef based on the dream of the Rekeach had. Look over here, Ois Vav. In Tzarech Lechaber HaEsrog, Lulav b'shas and anua unanei ashneim yachad omeinu mananei agudas halulav avad v'yad smoyloi she'esrog bo tia omedes b'mkayim v'brin anua. Maybe I should keep the esrog here and shake the lulav in all the six directions. So which is it? Ze loy nisbar b'gemar v'gob d'vei ha'poiskim. You don't find this in the Gemara, not in the Rishonim. Our Menachem Re'rakant. That's the Rakanti. That's a Makubo. Kazim parashas emar tzarech lismay ka'esrogim sharaminim. You have to put the esrog together with the other minim. Shaloi lafrida min habinyan v'soid. Shaloi lafrida min habinyan. Not to remove the esrog from the rest of the dawah minim. V'soid ze nigla elai b'chaloim. This is revealed to me in a chaloim. B'leil yom tovishin shalchag asukas b'zaskan esri chosid echad that was staying with me a certain chosid. Shmoy Rav Yitzchak v'isi b'chaloim she'akosav Hashem b'yud hei v'yimachak hei achroino. He saw in his dream yud hei vav. And the other hey was all the way over here. And he couldn't figure out the dream. Yud, hey, Vav, what's going on? And then he realized, we all take the lulav and the esrog like this, three minim over here, the fourth min over here, and he realized in order to unite the Shem Hashem, I have to bring them all together. The place where they were, they kept the minim apart. I realized this was a mistake because after you also show him. He didn't really understand it until he saw the next day how they were taking lulav. I understood what the solution, what the answer to my dream was. But basically, we all do this. We pass like this, Rakanti. So we pass in a certain halachas based on dreams. Certain halachas based on dreams. This is not visions of Eliyahu HaNavi, right? There's a shalos and tshuvas min hashamayim about different halachas that were taught by Eliyahu HaNavi to the Beis Yosef. That's something else. This is a dream. The Rakanti paskan halacha based on his dreams. What happened to Divrei Chalomus? Lomam v'lo meridin. Divrei Chalomus or Baba Maisa. So we have a funny relationship over here with dreams. We have a funny relationship with dreams. Our Rabbi said, look over here. It says in Gemara Brachos and Zayin Mebeis. We know this Gemara. Chamisha Echamishishim. There are 5 1-60s. 5 1-60s. What are the 5 1-60s? Ehu hein, eish, dvash, shabbos, shein, v'chaloyim. What do you mean? Eish, echem, ishishim, l'gehenim. Fire is 1/60th of gehenim. Okay, dvash, echem, ishishim, l'man. L'man was similar to dvash, like honey. Shabbos, echem, ishishim, l'olam haba. Shabbos is like 1/60th of olam haba. Menucha of Shabbos is similar to menucha olamis of olam haba. Shein, echem, ishishim, l'misa. Chaloyim, echem, ishishim, l'nevua. That sounds like chaloyim is related to nevua. Shein is like Misa, Chaloyim is like Nevua. Okay? Sounds like it isn't a bad thing, right? Chaloyim isn't a bad thing. So what's our relationship with dreams over here? What's our relationship with dreams? So everybody say there are three approaches that I'm aware of to this dream dilemma. So to this dream problem. One is, we could say that it's a suffix. Suffix. I guess it really would be four. Four. Tashbetz, I believe, says it's a suffix. Look over here, Oizyud. Meaning there are some dreams that are divrei chalayim, that are divrei chalayim shulamam v'lo mevidin, and some dreams that are significant. It's really based on the Gemara in Brachos. Over here, Oizyud says the Gemara in Brachos, es astir in psukim. Shmuel ki avichal zechal mabi shomer v'chalayim es hashavi daberu. So Shmuel, when he saw a bad dream, so he said, based on the pasuk of Sefer Zechariah, chalayim es hashavi daberu. The chalayim is speaking divrei shav, wasteful speech. When he saw a bad dream, that's what he said. What? Do you think dreams are wasted speech? Meaning, he was a front runner. He was a bad, you know, bandwagon jumper. He said, oh, when it was a bad dream, when he had a good dream, he wanted to be hold on to it. He said, you think chalom is hashavi daberu? Alpha pishim isas mikayim kuhen miskayim minolan. Because the pasuk says, "B'chalayim over here," he says, "B'chalayim adaber bay, b'chalayim adaber bay." So he says, the pasuk says in Parashat Ba'aloitzcha, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, not like Moshe Rabbeinu, who speaks to Ribbono Panim Lepanim, but the other individuals, Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to them. He speaks to them b'chalayim. That was one of the differences between the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the nevuah of Shaar Nevi'im. The Shaar Nevi'im only saw the nevuah through a mara chalayim. Moshe Rabbeinu had it even when he was awake. Other Nevi'im saw Bas Baklari Shein Meira, Moshe Rabbeinu saw his Nevuah Bas Baklari HaMeira. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning they had a fuzzy vision, Moshe Rabbeinu had a clear vision. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah wasn't Nevuah like the other Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was Bechinas Torah. Torah is not the same as Nevuah. It's a different kind of Nevuah. That's what the Rama means. In Yoga Meikri Amunah, we have to believe that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than the Nevuah of Shaar Nevi'im, because the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't just Nevuah, the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was Torah. But the Rav Soloveitchik explains that Moshe Rabbeinu actually had two forms in Nevuah. Sometimes the Nevuah was Bechinas Nevuah, like the other Nevi'im. Sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was Torah. Why? Because Min Chaskina Chazakasha, Rabbi, I'd say this is one of the very famous shtickle from the Rav. It's in Nefsharav, I think. That the Min Chaskina has a famous kasha. He asks, however, Divrei Navi is Chayv Misa, person who violates the words of a Navi. A Navi comes and tells you, do this. You have to do it. If you don't do it, you chayv misa. Moshe Rabbeinu told you, don't speak Lashon Hara. It's in Parashas Kedoshim. So why isn't it that every guy who speaks Lashon Hara is chayv misa? How do you know you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara? Moshe Rabbeinu said so. It's in the Torah. L'seyach rachu ba'amecha. Says the Kashim in Chaskino, how could you ever have an Avera that you do that's not chayv misa? After all, we only heard about from Moshe Rabbeinu, and Oivel Divrei Navi is chayv misa. You hear the question? That's the Minchas Chinas Kasha. So the Rav explained, Sef Sharav, the Israeli briskers have the same thing in the name of Rebbe Soloveitchik or the Brisker Rav. This is obviously came from the whole house. Everybody must have been saying this stuff in the house. Coming from too many places. But they all say the same thing, probably traces it back to Reb Chaim. And that is that, no, Moshe Rabbeinu said sometimes Nevuah b'Toras Nevuah, and that's what we mean when we say, however, the Rebbe Novi Chaim Misa. But then Moshe Rabbeinu also spoke, Shechina medaberes mitoch grono, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke with the Shekhinah speaking from his throat. That was the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was commuting. He happened to have been the microphone for the Torah. But that's not the Bechinas Nevuah. That's what the Rama means in Yoga Meir Kriyamunu. We have to believe that the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, that he was the Adon Hanavim, because by saying so, what we're doing is saying Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah wasn't just Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was Torah, and it's not just something that's necessary for one generation because of their particular circumstances, but something that's Nogei Aludairos. So Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was Bechinas Torah. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu had his nevuah while he was awake. Moshe Rabbeinu had his nevuah Bas Baklari HaMe'ira. The other Nevi'im saw images they had to interpret. Ein Shnei Nevi'im Misnabim B'Signoi Nechad. No two Navis interpret the same vision in the same language because they weren't given specific words to communicate. They saw a vision that they then had to interpret and apply to their circumstances. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the exact message. Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Krono. The Shechina was talking from his throat. So Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Ribbono Shel Olam while he's awake. The rest of the Nevi'im, b'chaloyim adaber boy. They speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam to chaloyim. That kind of Mara Nevuah comes through like a chaloyim. So which is it? Is a chaloyim divrei shav, a chaloyim is shav yidaberu, or is it b'chaloyim adaber boy? Is it related to Nevuah? Says the Gemara, kana yidei malach, kana yidei shade. Sometimes it's a malach, sometimes it's a shade. So that leads Rabbeinu Bachya, the Barbanel and Parshas Mikes, to say that there's really two types of dreams. Some types of dreams are good, you know, are from the Malach, from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's B'chaloyim Adaber Boy, that's the Echa Mishishim B'Nevua. But then, some dreams are from a shade, meaning that they're wasted, they're wasted time. So there's two different kinds of dreams. I think that's where the Tashbetz is going. The Tashbetz says, well, it's a suffix. We treat the Bechalemus as a suffix. So to be mighty mammon, to take money from someone's hands, no, you can't take money based on Divrei Chalemus, because it's a suffix mammon. That's what the Gemara means in Sanhedrin. That's what the Gemara means in Masechtas Gittin. Divrei Chalemus, l'mam v'lo meridim. When it comes to Dinei Mammonis, you can't follow Divrei Chalemus. The one Gemara that doesn't work with this is our Gemara and Baba Basra. Because our Gemara is dealing with Dinei Mammonis, and yet they follow the Chalim. The other two Gemaras that deal with Divrei with the money, we say Divrei Chalim is Lomam V'lo Meridim, because the Divrei Chalim is a suffix. We don't know what it is. Is it Ayidei Malk? Is it Ayidei Shade? There's really two different kinds of dreams. We don't know which one this is, so we treat it as a suffix. So we say, Hamoitzi Mechaveru Olav Araya. When it comes to money, you got to prove that it's not mine. You can't prove that a dream is correct, so you leave the money where it is. So the Yisraelim get to keep their money. The guy who finds the money in his father's house gets to keep his money. What about our Gemara? Our Gemara is also money, yet we're seizing the money based on the Chalim. So I think that's why Rashi says over here, Rashi says, when did he have this dream? Chazalahu b'chalma, says Rashi, the third line, b'matzah yom kippurim. He had the dream on Matzah Yom Kippur. Why did Rashi tell us that he had the dream on Matzah Yom Kippur? Why is that relevant? When he had the dream. Who cares when he had the dream? I think what Rashi's saying is, if you have a dream on Matzah Yom Kippur, for sure, that's from the Malach. That's not from the Shade. No one's having a dream that's a waste of time on Matzah Yom Kippur, at the pinnacle of the religious year. Matzah Yom Kippur when he's on a high. No one's having a dream that's unreliable at that point. So that's why we don't apply Divrei Chalemus L'mam V'lo Meridim in our case, even though we're discussing Dinei Mammonis. But when you're discussing Issa V'Heter, a guy is Nidu B'Chalom, they put him into Chayrim in a Chalom. Or, you know, the Halacha. You see, nothing to do with Mammonis. How to hold the Lulav and the Esrig, we don't know. Maybe the Chalom is Divrei Chalemus L'mam V'lo Meridim, or maybe this Chalom is from a Malach. We don't know. So we follow that dream, we follow that Chalom. Because maybe it is coming from a good place. We don't know.
Maybe it's Dvar B'Talim, or maybe it's real things. Rabbi Zilkov, the Gemara says in Brachas, we skipped this over here, Oishches, Kishem Sheyev Shalabar B'Loy Tevin, Kach Yev Shechalem B'Loy Dvar B'Talim. Just like it's impossible to have grain without a husk, it's impossible to have a dream without Dvar B'Talim. Because a person sees in his dreams, a
person only sees in his dreams, you know, things that he was pondering during the day. What were you pondering during the day of Yom Kippur? What are you pondering during the day?
Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah.
So of course, your hurray liboy and Matzah Yom Kippur are going to be from a good place, and therefore the dream is a good dream. And it's reliable, even to be mighty mammon. He didn't seize the money, he convinced them to give it, because Divrei Chalim is in the end of the Lamav Lamav Yidin, but
there are two kinds of dreams. We don't know which it is, so it's a suffix. So that's one approach, yeah? What are you saying?
It seems that either way you want to go, though, through the two sides that we've seen, it isn't like the idea in the Gemara that says like that you should be giving like stuff like to get a mitzvah and give stucco instead of just like that's not like that doesn't fall in any field because either the dream really means nothing, so just continue on with your life and like disregard it, or the dream does mean something, and we would look at like one of these words.
You're saying tzedakah is lav dafka mammonis. You don't think it's money.
All the wires work to getting stuck up because you're going to lose the money.
But it's a monetary mitzvah, so we would say hamot to make chaver
l'varaya. But we see like cases where you have like a bad type of dream that you're scared of, and people like fast because of it to be able to like potentially
right. Because so I don't know. Maybe it's a good dream. Maybe it's a bad dream. There's two kinds of dreams. Kana de mal, kana de shade. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. So be machmir.
So why in our case in the Gemara is the person just jumping to a conclusion to get stuck instead of losing it because he's going to lose the money anyways? Why not daven or fast and potentially just get rid of the whole thing?
Well, they saw in a dream. You're saying, why did he do Hatavas Chaloyim? Some other way.
Hatavas Cholem to get out of tzedakah. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't going to work.
Wasn't the exact?
It could be if you have, you know, sometimes when you see these dreams, it's going to happen anyway. Meaning this is not a bad or good thing. Giving tzedakah is not a bad or good thing. It is what it is. Whether the money belongs to you is not bad or good. You can't do Hatavas Cholem to make the money belong to you if it doesn't. So Hatavas Cholem only makes sense if there's some sort of danger or bad thing that's about to befall an individual.
Isn't tzedakah just the outcome?
No, tzedakah means this money was never meant to be yours.
But the dream wasn't that he was going to give...
The dream was, you're going to lose this money. Up to you, to give it to tzedakah or you want to give it to the ruler. But you're going to lose it anyway. It doesn't belong to you. This is becoming from the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can't do a Tavas Chalayim to gain money. It wasn't meant for the guy. So, but what he can do is channel it in the right direction. But why do you take it seriously? If some Chalayim is a different Chalayim, Dvel Matalim, and, you know, Imayel Elohim HaRuhi, but some, you know, dreams are from a shade. So... why do you take it seriously? Usually with regards to Dinei Mominis, we don't take dreams seriously. That's exactly when we say Devei Chalemus, L'mam V'lem Eridin. So the answer is, maybe over here, because this was a special dream, it came on Matzah Yom Kippur. Maybe.
So what's the point of those Gemaras that say that when, like, even they do, and these Gemaras do pass in that dream?
We do take dreams seriously if it's not money.
So what's the point of just, like, so you're, like, fasting just over...
It's a Suffolk Sakana. I would fast for a Suffolk Sakana, right? I mean, it's a dangerous thing. Okay, Rabbi said the Ran has another distinction. We'll see that quickly, and then there's a little bit more. Rav Tzadik has a whole different approach to dreams, which we'll have to get into tomorrow. But the Chiddush Ran says over here on the brackets over here, the third source. Isn't this obvious? If an aid comes and says the money doesn't belong to you, it's over here, but it doesn't belong to you. We don't listen to the aid. Why would I think you listen to the dream? I might have thought you should dafka listen to a chaloim. It's 1/60 of nevuah. Kamash mulanda fiu hachi divrei chaloim is l'mam v'lo meriden. Even so, we say divrei chaloim is l'mam v'lo meriden. L'asolam imayna in order to ask the money to you. And even if there is supporting evidence, v'alpa pishiyish roglayim l'dover the kush tekamar. Even if there is supporting evidence, like this was hidden. That implies that it is Meister Sheni. Nonetheless, Divrei Chaloyim is L'mam V'lo Meriden. V'kevin Shechein Mashmuli Meha, D'mish another V'chaloyim Ein Tzarech Heter, the Divrei Chaloyim is L'mam V'lo Meriden. Says the Ran, if we're going to say this, why do we care about anything in a dream? Why are we passing Shilas based on dreams? Why are we caring about a Nidu in a dream? L'mam V'lo Meriden. Lesser Hamutah, V'yapo Gavni, Yidu B'chaloyim Tzarech Heter. Nonetheless, if you see Nidu in a Chaloyim, you do require a Heter. Kid the Yisrael Bar Kamen in the Dharm. Hasam Hainu Taima, Darmina Dimin Shamayin Iduhu. When it comes to, I guess, along the same lines that we said before, when it comes to Isav Heter, maybe we'd say, I guess it sounds like exactly what we said already. Yeah, maybe distinguishing Dine Mamadis and Isav Heter. Maybe it means the same as the Rashbats. Maybe that's what the Ran is saying. Let's see the Rashbats. The Rashbats maybe is the one with a different approach. All right, tomorrow we'll get into the Rashbats. The Tashbates over here, Oisud, and then we'll get into Rav Tzadik. Ooh, a whole different mystical approach to dreams. Okay, Chevra. We'll go on after. Half the Adam Davin. Nice. You daven? Ashley daven? Yeah, okay, same.
What did he say?
When the Gemara here said, he needs to get it, what is the tzedakah part? Maybe I just misunderstood the Gemara.
So therefore, he took the money and used it for tzedakah, because they were going to lose it anyway. They were going to lose this money anyway. So he took it, you know what, you're going to lose it anyway, I'll give it to tzedakah.
My point was, maybe I just said it, the chalom didn't tell him that you have to get tzedakah.
You know,
the
chalom
just told him you're going to lose money.
Right, so that you can't change.
Is that not considered like...
punishment? No, a lot of tzedakah.
That's
tzedakah,
right? So what's like the cutoff between like bad happening to you and just losing money?
I hear you.
Someone losing like $1 million is worse than like their parents.